The time has come. The scene is set. This week we tell the most incredible story of the whole history of the world. These events that we remember have echoed throughout the ages and are as important today as they have ever been. Today we focus on the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So let's use our imaginations to enter into the story and see what we discover. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Do you see him? Do you see who it is? It's Jesus. Here he comes. Look, the crowds are parting. Hordes of people making way. They've come from all over. They've come for a feast. They've come to Jerusalem for festival time. This is the Jewish nation, and this is Passover. It's the time to remember God's faithfulness, to remember that God hears the cry of his people, and that God acts to set his people free. He did it for Moses. He did it for the Israelite slaves languishing under Egyptian tyranny. They've been telling that story every year since. God liberates his people. He's done it before, and he will do it again. The time has come. The scene is set. This is about freedom. Look at the jostling crowd as they gather around. Well, they're certainly getting a spectacle. This is definitely something to see. Here he comes. Watch as they lift up their palm branches. Watch as they wave them, as they brandish them. See that steely look in their eyes. They know what this is. Palm branches have been waved by this nation before. The symbolism reverberates around the crowd, calling them to remember. Remember Judas Maccabeus. He was a Jewish priest who led the fight against another enemy, an occupying force who trashed their temple, their holy place. When they finally wrestled it back, they marched in victory, palm leaves held aloft, waved in triumph, waved in celebration. The time has come. The scene is set. This is about revolution. Hosanna! They shout, Hosanna, save us now. That's what those words mean. That's what they're calling out to Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. Hosanna, save us from our enemies, save us from the occupying force, from our oppressors, set us free from the cruel iron fist of Roman rule. There is fire in their bellies and menace in their eyes as they look to the one who will change everything, as they dare to march into Jerusalem and call him their king. Dangerous words to speak under the watchful eye of those whose allegiance is to Caesar and Rome. No wonder the plot to kill Jesus gathers momentum at this point. The time has come. The scene is set. This is about a new era. Blessed is the King of Israel. But even as his followers march with an uprising in their hearts, Jesus won't let them seize his mission for their own intent. He has his own agenda. This is about freedom. This is about revolution. This is about a new, but not in the way that they think. They believed that it was time to fight. They had their sights set on casting out Roman forces in what would no doubt be a costly and bloody conflict. But Jesus' thoughts are turned to an even greater enemy and an even greater battle. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. This is no war horse, Jesus rides. It isn't with weapons and might he will seek to overthrow. Jesus is king, but not the kind of king they seem to be expecting. Your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Words designed to trigger memories. Memories of a scripture written long ago. Memories of the words of the prophet Zechariah. What were those words? They sound familiar. Oh, wait, I remember. This is what it says. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. What? No chariots? No war horses? No battle bow? What kind of revolution is this? Just a gentle and righteous king riding on a donkey and proclaiming peace to the nations? How does that work? How does that get rid of the Romans? What's all this about peace to the nations? This isn't the king they were expecting. It wasn't the battle they were readying themselves for. Jesus wasn't matching up to their expectations, the image that they had in their mind. And perhaps there is a lesson in that. That when it comes to Jesus, we should never dare to think that we have him pegged. We should always expect the unexpected. The time has come. The scene is set. This is about God's grand scheme. This is God's Son coming into the world to save the world, to save all of the world. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem marks the beginning of the end, but with that ending comes a new beginning. Jesus has gathered his disciples. He's taught the crowds. He's performed miracles. And now this procession sets in motion the events that will lead to his death. By this point, every move is carefully orchestrated to show people what is going on, to help them understand the bigger picture. The timing set to coincide with the festival of Passover, the waving of palm leaves, the words of the prophet Zechariah, all coming together to give context and narration to the events which are taking place. It's time for God to set people free, not just from Egyptian tyranny, but from the power of sin. It's time for victory, but not over the Romans, over death itself. It's time for God's Messiah to act, not on behalf of a single broken and oppressed people, but on behalf of all broken and oppressed people everywhere. That's what this is about. But they don't know that yet. They don't understand the full picture because that picture hasn't happened yet. As they march with Jesus into Jerusalem, they don't have the benefit of hindsight like we do. They have their king. They have fierce hope burning in their hearts. After this huge high, I can only begin to imagine what they would be feeling a few days later, with Jesus hanging on a cross, bleeding and dying. All of their ambitions of defeat, defeating their human enemy, just draining away as the life drains out of their king. It must have felt like the end. A crushing blow. And I can hardly begin to wonder the confusion that would have filled their foggy brains after Jesus had been buried, when they began to hear rumors of an empty tomb, the questions it would have raised in their minds. And I would love to experience the elation and the awe that they would have felt as Jesus appeared to them again, the shock of seeing the king alive again when all had seemed so lost. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm flicking to the back of the book to read the last page and not waiting to see as the story unfolds as it's told. We will get to those bits. We're going to get to those bits later on this week. We're going to get to those bits next Sunday. Today has us watching Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a young donkey. We look as the people receive their true king, a gentle king, a king who comes with a promise of salvation and proclaiming peace to the nations. The time has come. The scene is set. This is about what? I guess I want to leave that one with you. How do you understand this story? What do these events mean to you? What impact do they have on your life? How does what happened 2,000 years ago make a difference today? What does it tell us about the nature of God and about our own human nature? How does it help us understand the way of God and the way of the world and how the two are different? Who is King Jesus? What kind of king is he? And is he our king? And if he is our king, what difference does that make? So many questions. So many things to ponder. We call this next week Passion Tide, as Nick shared with us, or Holy Week. It's a time when we remember God acting in the world in order to rescue the world. So during this Passion Tide, this Holy Week, can I set you a challenge? Can I challenge you to take some time this week to let your mind wander back to these scenes and these events, to reflect a little on what it is we're remembering? Perhaps even get brave. Pick up a Bible. Find John's Gospel that we had read to us, chapter 12. Read on. Find out what happens in the rest of the story. Allow the questions that you have to bubble up in your minds. And then take a few moments to invite God into your thoughts. See what truth God reveals to you about the week that changed everything.